fire went out before Hashem. Atoichal and eat. Atoichal al mizbech. Esoil of yisachalavim. Vayar kolam vayironu. All the people they saw vayironu and they shouted. Vayiplu opened and they fell down. So what does it mean? Vayironu rash kitargumo kitarguma. So let's see the targum. What does it say in the targum? Targum over here says. Targum says.
Tomorrow you have to say the Targum on Pasuk Lamed Gimel on the Chagura on the belt.
What does it say in the Targum? What does it say?
I think he says completely different. He has a whole different chart.
Okay,
we'll
good. We'll learn. We'll see what he says. So let's see the Targum on this Pasuk Targum Ungulis. Okay, here we go. Unifokas Esha Summon Kalim Hashem, a fire went up before Hashem, Va'acholas al Mad Bicho. It ate on the Mizbeach, Yos a lo so. Okay, and the Zvech the carbon oil of Yos tar bayo, the fat. Vachazokol ama vishabachu. So here he translates the word vishabachu, they praised. The word vayironu, I feel this is a very important passage. Vayironu, lashon of rina. Rina gila ditsa vcheva. Yeah, rina's joy. So he translates the word vayironu to mean vishabachu, they praised. They praised Hashem, vayipla penehem. Unifolu al apehon tachanun. Yemea, they said tachanun.
Yeah.
They said tachanun. It was a yomtiv. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's why they got burned because you shouldn't say tachanun. It's very scary.
Lazy. Hear what he says. That's why they died. The reason why another of you died was because they said tachanun on yomtiv. Hilarious. Only a chassid would say that. Vayaroinu, they went and they said praise. Vayiplo apneim v'nofla al apayin. They said tachnun. So Rashi over there says vayaroinu kitarguma means v'shabachu. They sang praise. Okay, fine. Next, vayichu b'nei Aaron and v'vayu yishmach l'soid. Now after that was all Klal Yisrael. A fire went out before Hashem and ate on, and it consumed the korbanos. Fine. Then what happened? Now comes the tragedy. Vayichu b'nei Aaron another v'vayu yishmach l'soid another v'vayu. Each person took his shovel. Vayinu vahenesh. They put into the shovel fire. Vayosimu olecha kitoris. They put on top of the fire, they put kitoris. Vayagrivu lefnei Hashem eish zoro asher loy tziva oisom, which Hashem did not command them. And this is very interesting because on Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnei v'lefnei and brings kitoris, he doesn't do it like this. The Kohen Gadol goes in and he brings a shovel. He brings two separate things. He brings a shovel. And in the shovel there is coals, and then he has a bowl, or he has. I'm sorry, he has Meloy Chofnov. He has in his palm. He has Ketores, and indeed he puts the Ketores on top of the fire that is in the shovel. Here it says Ish Machta Savayidnu Vohen Ish. Okay, that's correct. First you put in the Machta fire, Vayosimu Oleho Ketores. Then they put the ketores, and then vayakrivu lefnei Hashem eish zoro asher lo tziva oisam. Now, there's a very big machloikis between the tzedoikim and the prushim as to when you put the ketores on the fire. Do you put the ketores on the fire when you're inside the kodesh hakodashim, or do you put the ketores on the fire before you enter the kodesh hakodashim? So the Tzedoikim, this was a big, big fight. This was the fight, this destroyed Klal Yisrael, this Machlekes. And the Tzedoikim insisted that the correct time to put the Ketores on the fire was before they entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Before you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when you go and you put the Ketores on the fire. And the Purushim said, no, that's a mistake. First you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you put the shovel with the coals on the floor, and then in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, do you ignite the Ketores by pouring the Ketores on the fire? If you look at this pasuk at face value, it would appear that Nadav v'Avihu did like the Tzedoikim. They did it the wrong way. Because it says they put the Eish, Vayidnu Vohein Eish, they put the fire on the shovel, and then immediately, Vayosimu Oleho Ketores, and then then they brought it into the Kodesh HaKodashim. So it's very interesting that Nadav Ve'Aviv, if you take the pasuk at face value, they did it the way that the Tzedokim did it, which was a great, great source of contention between the Prushim and the Tzedokim as when exactly is the correct time to put the Keteres on the fire. Okay, so let's see over the Rashi. Rashi in this pasuk says, it's fascinating that there is no Rashi, or it was a Rashi, Vayichum HaMeish, and there is no Rashi in this pasuk, it seems. Am I making a mistake? Mefarshim in this pasuk, Vayichum HaMeish, Rashi. On this pasuk, there is no Rashi. Targum says, U Nisivu, they took. Vnei Aaron of you, Givar, each person, Machti say his shovel. Vihavu, Vihoin Eshosa, they put in the shovel fire. Vishavi'u Allah Kitores, and they put on the fire Kitores, the Korivu Kodom Hashem, and they brought it near Hashem, Eshosa Nuchresa. They brought before Hashem a strange fire, Dila Pakid Yosin Hashem, that Hashem did not command. Okay? So this is what. A strange fire that they were not commanded to. Okay, so that's what it says over here. Okay, there's not over here. It seems pretty straightforward. And okay, let's see the next pasuk. What happened next? Vateitze ish lufnei Hashem vatechal esam vayimusu lufnei Hashem. A fire went out from before Hashem, consumed them, and they died lufnei Hashem. Okay, so let's see over here what it says over here in Rashi, on this pasuk. Vateitze ish. Rabbi Eliezer Omer lo mesu b'nei Aaron el al-yidei shachiru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. Why did they die? Okay, this is a very dangerous Rashi, because here we're dealing with tragedy. We're dealing with a terrible tragedy. And here Chazal are telling us why the tragedy happened. I always like to talk about this topic. And we always make a mistake and we always think of the same way Rashi tells us why bad things happen to good people. We can extrapolate, and today we can say why bad things happen to good people. We can say, why did the Holocaust happen? Why did Reb Chaim Kanievsky die on Purim? We know everything. We know everything. Why do we think we know everything? Because if we learn a pasuk in Chumash, and there's a tragedy, and Nadav Aviv died, young people were not married, had no children, left over nothing in this world. And on the day, from all days of the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan, they died. And Rashi says, I'll tell you why they died. You know why they died? Rashi's not saying why they died. Rashi's saying, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Loi Meisu B'nei Aaron, Ela Al-Yidei Shachayru Halacha B'fnei Moshe Rabban. They decided a halacha in the presence of their teacher Moshe. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, what was the halacha they decided? The halacha they decided was when the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says a fire came out from before Hashem and consumed. They told Moshe, even though there's an ish min hashamayim, there is still a mitzvah that we should light our own fire for the korbanos. It's very nice that Hashem brings down to the mizbeach his own fire, but the halacha demands that we also must make on the mizbeach a fire min ahedyot to consume the korbanos. And if Hashem wants to send down his own fire, that is a bonus, but that's a bonus, but we have to do our thing. So here, that's why they died. They told this to Moshe. Moshe, they did not give Moshe a chance to tell them the halacha. They decided the halacha on their own, and that is why they died. That is according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer. One more time, the Rashi. Rashi says, Halacha, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Omer, Shesuya Yayin Nichnasu L'Migdash. The reason why they did that was because they entered into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of intoxication. They were drunk. Teda, Sha'acha Misasan Hizir HaNaisadim Shal Yikonsu Shesuya Yayin L'Migdash, because after they died, they were commanded, becomes the command that a Kohen is not allowed to do Avoda when he has consumed a revius of Yayin. Mashal L'Melech Shoyaloi Ben Bayis. Kedisa Bavika Rabba, the marshal there is that if a person, that you give a dogma, that if a person does something and gets harmed, so the king says, don't do like what that person did, because you will also die. since the very next psukim after this parasha, after the death of Nadav Avihu, Hashem says to Aaron the law of the law that a person is not allowed to consume, a person should not consume intoxicating beverages before he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. That is a direct response to the tragedy of Nadav Avihu. So what do you really take out of this Rashi? It is very interesting. Rashi is telling us a very dangerous concept. We know why it happened. We know why. We know why Nadav Avihu died young. They were not married. They had no children. They left over nothing. Rashi tells us that Chazal have given us two reasons why they died. Number one, because they decided a halacha in the presence of Moshe without consulting with their Rebbe, Moshe. Second answer is because they entered into the Mikdash in a state of intoxication. What's the difference between the two opinions? We are using the principle of juxtaposition, Hekesh. This story of Nadav Avihu is juxtaposed to the psukim before and the psukim after. The psukim after discuss the topic of Shesuye Yayin, whereas the psukim before discuss the topic of entering of Moire Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Because the parsha before, as we said, is Vateitze Ish Milifnei Hashem. And that is Merames, that Nadav Avihu said to Moshe, even though there's an ish that's milifnei Hashem, that's not enough. It is the halacha that we must ignite our own fire from a hedyot. That's the diyah comes from this pasuk right before. The pasuk was right before. Vateitze ish milifnei Hashem, pasuk chav dalet, right before. So therefore, the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi. Who are the two opinions? Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yishmael is a machloikis. So when you make a hekesh, is the primary thing to learn what is before or what is after? What is the primary drasha? To go backwards or to go forwards? Okay, so this is Rashi. Let's see Unkelus. Unkelus says, Unifakas esh asomin kodam Hashem. Va'acholas yosoin umisu, they died kadam Hashem. Okay, straightforward. Now we come to the nechama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'ayoyim em Moshe el Aaron, hu asher dibra Hashem. Hashem spoke. Lemar saying, Bikurvai ekodesh, through my holy ones I will be sanctified. The al pnei chol ha'om ekoved, and in the presence of the people I will be honored. That was these were the words of nechama. This was the eulogy, and this, you didn't say, this is the eulogy maybe. Would you call this the eulogy? Would you call this nechama? See, what's interesting is, ordinarily in halacha, there's a principle, words of nechama and words of eulogy have no connection. They are mutually exclusive. You're not supposed to be menachem, give comfort to a person in the presence. When Mesoy Mutal Lefanav, okay, you cannot give nechama to a person in the presence of his sorrow. That's a no-no. And nechama first begins after the tragedy is no longer in our presence. Here it's very interesting. You don't find a hesped, or maybe this is the hesped. But if this is the hesped, then this is also the words of nechama, because vayidoy maron. Here, what did Moshe say? Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi over here says, Rashi pasuk gimel says, it's a big classic. These words of Rashi are quoted very, very often. Unfortunately, because in Klal Yisrael there are so many tragedies, and everyone needs source material to deal with tragedy, so this becomes the go-to place. Hu asher dibar Hashem hechan dibar. In Parshas, Nechumis Shemos, and the Shemos, in Kakisis, if I'm not mistaken, Veno Adati Shoma Levnei Yisrael Venigdash Bichvaydi. I will make myself known. I will meet. The word Noed means, I guess, to make known. Lashon of Deo, of to meet, I'm not sure. means here to meet. I will connect with the Jewish people there, v'nikdash, and they will be v'nikdash, and they will be sanctified, b'chvaydi, in my honor. So Rashi's famous Rashi, al tikre, do not read it b'chvaydi, in my honor, ella b'me chu badai. You have to add a mem in the middle, b'me chu badai. I will be sanctified via, through my honored ones. Who are my honored ones? Nadav Aviv. Moshe says to Aaron, I thought, Amalei Moshe Aaron, Aaronachi, Yodei HaYisi, I knew this. I knew there would be a tragedy on Aleph Nisan. I knew it. How did I know it? I knew this would happen, that the bayis would be sanctified through those that are close to Hashem. Shalom Hakon. The hayisi sofer, I thought, who's going to be the one that's going to die? Either it's going to be me or it's going to be you. Achshav now.
I have always had great problems with this Rashi and this explanation. Think about it. Number one,
Mr. Avor, you're asking the question that every single living person is asking. No one has any understanding what this means. No, we're not foolish to think that we know what this means. It doesn't make one bit of sense.
I recognize that obviously Moshe and Aaron are at a level of spirituality that will never reach, never be at. So I accept it, but
it doesn't make any sense. I'm with you. I have
Kiddush Hashem. I know
it doesn't. The whole thing is beyond that, beyond our understanding. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. It says that Moshe says, I knew this would happen. Excuse me, I knew this would happen, but I figured, Vayisi Sovor, Oivi Oivicha, be either me or you. Achshav roye anish, and now I see shehem gidolim mimenu mimeni u'mimcha, Nada v'aviu is greater than me and you. So this, now here, there are a million questions you may ask. First of all, first question, very basic question. Is Moshe delivering a hesped for Nada v'aviu, or is Moshe attempting to give Aaron comfort? And if you'll answer me both, that's very difficult. Because generally, we have a principle that you don't give comfort at the time when the dead may say mutal lefanav. So if you will say that this was words of comfort, and when Moshe said these words to Aaron, Nadav Aviv were already buried, which is not seemingly not true, because the next pasuk tells us that Moshe told Mishol v'Otzafim to bury him. So then this is a eulogy. This is a eulogy. If this is a eulogy, then we don't really find words of comfort. To no words of comfort, it doesn't really seem that Vayidoim Aaron fits. Vayidoim Aaron, on a very simple level, would be a reaction to words of comfort. Go to a person who's grieving, and you give him comfort, and he accepts. He accepts the comfort. Vayidoi means he was silent. So I tell you, on a very simple level, he accepted the words of comfort. But you don't give comfort to a person when the mace is still present. And it would seem from the simple reading of the pasuk that the mace is still present, because only in pasuk Dalit does it say that Moshe gave instructions that the mace should be buried. So then you'll say, okay, so these were words of eulogy. If they're words of eulogy, it doesn't seem that the word Vayidoim Aaron appears to be correct. Now is not the time for Vayidoim Aaron. Vayidoim Aaron, on a very simple level, is something which Aaron would express himself in this way after they are buried. Okay, so maybe what I'm saying in every respect is wrong. I'm very willing to accept that I'm wrong in every respect, everything that I just said. But the problem is, the whole thing over here is extremely, extremely difficult, as Mr. Rappaport, you pointed out, and we'll leave it with that, okay? We'll leave it with that for the moment now. One thing I do want to tell you, though, is that something bothered me, something recently in learning this sugya bothers me, and I'm beginning to suspect that there's a connection, at least in the world of Darusha Machshava. What bothers me is, why was it? And again, this doesn't answer any question. This is just doesn't answer any question. But what bothers me is, why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delayed the Hakamas HaMishkan by so many months? The Mishkan was ready to be erected on the 25th day of Kislev. That's what it says in the Medrash. They began, the donations began on the 11th day, or the 12th day. Moshe came down from Har Sinai on Yom HaKippur. The next day, day 11, he told them, guess what? We're going to build a Mishkan. Call for donations. Charity campaign. Everyone go online. Who wants to be an ambassador? Who wants to have their own webpage? Call up your friends. We're making an online charity campaign for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Money came in bucket loads. And by the 15th day of Nisan, they had enough money. All the money was collected. All the money was in the bank. And Bezalel was selected to be the master craftsman. He assembled the team. And that's it. Get to work. Get to work. They went to work. That was the 15th day of Tishrei. Then that was 15 days approximately. And then there was a whole month of Cheshvan. And then there were 25 days in Kislev. And on the 25th day of Kislev, the Mishkan was 100% complete. There was nothing left to do. Everything was done. Okay? So on the 25th day of Kislev, we should have a ceremony, begin the ceremony of the Miluim. No, we are going to wait and wait. Teves, Shvat, Ador, maybe it was an Ador Beis that year. Who knows? Ador Beis. Oh, finally, it's the 23rd day of Ador Beis. And now we're going to start with the Miluim Moshe Rabbeinu. And now we come to Aleph Nisan. Aaron's going to take over. Why? Why delay? What's the delay all about? Mr. Rappaport, did that ever bother you, that question? Why the delay?
Chazal said, I read. The real reason I read is because of the birth of Yitzchak.
Oh, right? So Chazal said, because Hashem wanted, didn't say, I think it says of all of the others. Chazal said that Hashem wanted to give honor to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were all born in Chodesh Nisan, the others. Okay, maybe I'm right. I remember it says all the others. Maybe you're right, maybe only Yitzchak, but I think all the others, Hashem wanted to give honor and wait until they were born. Is that a satisfying answer for you? I mean, that's, if Chazal say it, Chazal say it. You can't, you know, that's it. It's sacred. But does that, at face value, does that satisfy you? Does that really satisfy you? If everything is ready to go, since when do we have anywhere, Bechot or Kula, such a principle, wait. We're all ready to go. Just wait. Zrizin makdimim l'mitzvahs. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. My yelled yom. If you have an opportunity, chaper, do it. But there's a big sugi if a person's in prison and they say to him, guess what, fellow? We're going to let you out for one day. Pick a day. When do you want to go? So when should a person pick? What should a person pick? If you can leave for one day. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Pesach. And by the way, when he's in prison, he cannot do any mitzvahs, nothing. They do not allow him to do anything. They don't let him put on tefillin. They don't let him observe Shabbos. They don't let him fast in Yom Kippur. Listen, we'll let you out of religious freedom one day. Pick a day. So many places can say, as soon as possible, the next day, the very next day, or even today, and put on tefillin. Don't make cheshbonos what's going to be who knows when. You have an opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity now. This is what it says in every single Musa Sefer in the world. So why then did Hashem violate his own rule and say, oh, very good, Chaf Hei Kislev, you're ready to build a Mishkan? You know what, let's wait. Don't worry, Chafei Kislev, don't worry about it. I'll make it up to you. I'm going to make it up to you in 2,000 years from now. I'll make the miracle of Chanukah on Chafei Kislev. It'll be the Chanukah HaMishkar HaMikdash Oz Egmar B'Shir Mizmar Chanukah HaMizbeach. Are you satisfied with that, Mr. Rappaport, to wait? There's something more. Now, I don't have an answer, but something in me tells me that the answer lies in this Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, Aaron, Achi, I knew that unfortunately the way this world works, and again, we have literally zero understanding of what this means, not denying that, but I know that on the day of the Chanukah HaMishkan, there will be a very great tragedy. Somebody's going to die. Because that's in Hashem's world, V'nikdash b'chvoidi, al tikri b'chvoidi ela b'michu bodai. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. Now, again, I'm saying something which now I'm just talking, thinking with you out loud, and what I'm saying is not to be taken literally in any sense or form. Perhaps the delay, Hashem gave them a very long delay in order to mitigate, to give Moshe and Aaron and the people who potentially would be the Michubodai that would perish, would die in order to sanctify this Makom, to somehow cancel or to mitigate or to create some type of change in this rule, that it would not have to happen. If indeed the Mishkan would be built on the 25th, the inauguration, what would have happened if the inauguration would have been on the 25th day of Kislev, as Moshe said to Aaron? Then there would have been a tragedy. Someone would have died. Maybe Taka, Moshe, and Aaron would have died. And now that there was a delay, Moshe and Aaron, the extra time gave them an opportunity to cancel. Or at least they thought it was canceled. Unfortunately, it wasn't canceled because look what happened. Nadav Avihu did die. Okay, so this is a thought of there was a delay. The delay is for a reason. It's for a very deep reason. It cannot be that the entire reason because Hashem wanted to give cover to the others. Has to be something a little bit more flavor as to why there was that delay. All right, anyway, let's go a little further. Vayidaim Aaron. Aaron was silent. Kibel sachar al shiti kasai. Aaron received reward for his silence. Uma sachar kibel. What was the reward? Shenisyachedim adibar. Shenemelo levad the parsha shesu yai. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him directly. Hashem was miyach. Hashem, when Hashem gave the mitzvah to Kohanim, they may not enter into the mikdash in a state of intoxication or lav davka intoxication, even just drinking a revius of yayin, they may not enter into the mikdash. Hashem spoke, gave over this halacha only to Aaron. It was not your classic vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, but rather it was only to Aaron. Shnemelo levad parsha shesu yayin. Okay. Bikrovai, Rashi says Bikrovai, it means Bivchirai, it means my chosen ones. Okay, Hu Asher Dibir Hashem Lema Bikrovai Ekadesh, V'alpnei Chol Ha'am Ekaved, in the presence of all people will be honored. What does that mean? Kesha Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi over here says, Kesha Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem Oise Din Bat Tzadikim, when Hashem does Din with Tzadikim, Misyorei U'misaleh U'miskaleh, three things. Hashem is feared, he is elevated, and he is praised. Three different expressions. Im kein be'elu, kol shekein barishaim. If this is, now this is another very, very difficult concept. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is feared, is elevated, and is praised, when Hashem does judgment to the tzaddikim, how much more so is Hashem's name praised, elevated, and feared when he does judgment to the wicked. Hashem is awesome from your mikdash. Al tikri mi mikdashecha. Don't read mi mikdashecha ella mi mikudashecha. Read it through your whole, out of mi mikdashecha, from your holy place. Ella mi mikudashecha, through your holy ones. When your holy ones, here referring to the tzaddikim, when they perish because of mishpat, Hashem's name is elevated. These three things. Let's see what he says. The Targum. Targum Unkelis says, "V'amar Moshe le'Aaron Hudi Malil Hashem l'Meimar Bikrivai Es Gadash." Through my holy ones, my ones that are near me, I'll be sanctified. The Al Ape, and in the presence of Kol Amo Is Yakar, I will be honored. Ushesik Aharoin Aaron was quiet. So he learns the word Vayidoy means Shesika. Shesika means silence. Okay, now I'm wondering over here, go back to Rashi. What I'm wondering over here is the Al Pnei Chol Ha'om Ekaveit. Now I always understood this to mean, not that I ever understood anything, is that it's more like poetic repetition. Hashem, Moshe said to Aaron, Hu Asher Dibra Hashem, Lamar, Bikroivai, through my holy ones, meaning when I exercise mishpat against my tzaddikim, I will be sanctified. And when I'm sanctified, the alpnei cholam, all the people who are watching, they become afraid of me. My name is elevated in their eyes, and I am praised by them. The alpnei cholam ekaved. Is that really what the pasuk means? Maybe Rashi really is explaining what he means here is that Kishakadosh Baruch Hu oiser din batzadikim misyari umisale umiskales imkein be'elu kol shekein bereshoim. Does Rashi mean to say, probably not, that the first part of the pasuk is referring to where Hashem does mishpat to the tzadikim? And the second part of the pasuk is referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu exercises mishpat against the Rishoim. Hu asher dibra Hashem, bikroivai ekodesh. When I punish the tzaddikim, when they are punished for their sins, I'm sanctified. The whole world shakes, and they witness midas hadin. And you know what else? Likewise, the al pnei chol ha'om. Om in this context means the wicked. The wicked. When Hashem punishes the om, the chol ha'om, which we're using here as a placeholder for the wicked, and they suffer the ponim, the wrath of Hashem, the al, when pnei chol ha'om, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises mishpat against the wicked, then Ekaved also, certainly, how much more so is Hashem's name honored in the world? And that would explain the repetition, and that would also explain the difference of why it says the word Ekodesh in reference to Tzadikim, and the word Ekaved in reference to the wicked. When people see a Tzadik has to stand in judgment for microscopic averos, that evokes a feeling, a sensation of Hashem's sacredness. But when Hashem punishes the wicked, so what do people say? Good for them. They finally got what they deserved. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave them what they deserved. It's not necessarily a sensation or a recognition of sanctity, but rather of honor. Hashem has been honored that the people who are wicked have been punished. So Rashi, I don't know, Rashi is leading us, Rashi is going off on this tangent. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises din against the tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is glorified three things, how much more so is Hashem glorified when he exercises punishment against the wicked? Maybe really that's what Rashi means to say in the pasuk, because the pasuk has two parts, two expressions. It's broken down. Moshe said to Aaron, "Hu asher dibra Hashem b'kroivai ekodesh," that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises his mishpat against the kroivai, the tzaddikim, he is ekodesh. The al pnei cholam, And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents himself, his panim appears upon the Om, referring to the people that are not tzaddikim, and they are punished, then there's also a glorification of Hashem's name, but in a different dimension, in the dimension called Ekoved. And to that, Aaron said, Vayidoim Aharon. Aaron was silent. Now you have to ask, did it happen on that day that wicked people were punished? No, but it happened before, at the Egel. We have to appreciate, and this is where I think there's something, some truth to this, because the building of the Mikdash, according to Chazal, was the building of the Mishkan was the atonement for the Chei To'egel. And in the aftermath of the Chei To'egel, all of the perpetrators were punished. The people that actually bowed down were killed, and the people that were tolerant, there was a magefa. So the wicked were punished, and that was an honor to Hashem that the wicked were punished. Now when they built the Mishkan, it wasn't the wicked who suffered; it was the tzaddikim who suffered. And Rash, the pasuk over here, is telling us both. Both of these experiences happened through the Binyan, through the Egel. The Egel, which was the cause of the building of the Mishkan. Okay, so this is what Rashi says, and the Targum says come out the same thing. We'll stop over here, we'll leave it over here. Again, I'm sorry for coming late tonight. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you very much. Good night, Blazer. Good night, Mayor. Good night, Mr. Rappaport. Good night, Norman.
Good night, Liz. Good night, everybody. Good night.